Thank you. I'd like to call the September 12th meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Health Commission to order. The first thing I'd like to do is we have a new commissioner on the commission. I'd like to ask Commissioner Arnold, who is the chair of the nominating committee, to introduce him.
Thank you, Chairman Garina. It's my pleasure to welcome David Klaus to the commission. He's a very well-educated person, has an extensive background in the business world. He's now retired and has done public service for several years now. I'm impressed by he's served on the grand jury in Santa Barbara County and also in our county, and I'm happy to have him here. And David, you can add your own remarks to, tell us whatever you want about yourself. But anyway, welcome. Thank you.
Okay, I just want to say that I'm looking forward to working on the Health Commission as a consumer advisor, and I'm anxious to get started.
Good. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Commissioners were all sent the minutes of the past meeting, and if there's any changes, please let us know. If not, can I have a motion to approve the minutes? A second? All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None? Okay. So let's move into public comment. The public comment is for persons desiring to speak on issues other than scheduled items that are within the scope of interest of the Health Commission. Is there any public comment? Seeing no public comment, let's go right ahead and get into an overview of the community health centers of the Central Coast.
Okay, you guys are quick. Good evening. My name is Kenna Burke. I'm the Community and Government Relations Officer for the Community Health Centers. I really thank you for the invitation to speak with you tonight about our organization. And you asked last time that I was here that we could have some demographic information and kind of an overview for you of what the Community Health Centers, who we are, who we serve, what we do. And if I'm technically challenged here, okay, excellent. I wanted to introduce to you Denise Stewart, and what we're going to do is we're going to run through, different people have taken different segments of it, and so Denise Stewart is our operations officer for the north part of our area, and then Vince Sura is with our quality improvement assurance programs, so he'll come in and speak. We're also waiting for Dr. Mercadante. He is our dental director. He will be here. And then also Dr. Khan. And Dr. Khan has clinics tonight. And so if he doesn't make it, Vince can carry it for him, but he is going to try to get in here. He said probably about 6:30. So let's see. We're going to begin with the overview of the community health centers. And a quick description just about our mission. Our mission falls very much in line with that also of the federally qualified health care centers as well as the federal community health centers. We enhance the health status of all people on the Central Coast of California with a special emphasis on the medically underserved, identifying those who have not had access to care or may experience barriers to getting health care. We provide accessible, affordable, comprehensive quality health care with well-trained professional staff in strategically located areas. I don't know if you know, but we have 25 clinics. throughout the northern Santa Barbara County and all of San Luis Obispo County. We provide comprehensive services of primary medical services to community members. Our history is that we started as a migrant clinic back in 1978. Ron Castle began that program. And he's been with the program ever since and has expanded it up until the point of 2004, in which we entered into the contractual agreement with the county. And with that contractual agreement, we were able to increase the number of patients that we saw in the community. We also have, we are accredited by Joint Commission, and we'll have Denise Stewart talk a little bit about that. The community health center model is a cost-effective care of throughout the nation. This has been deemed really an excellent model on the ability to deliver health care to people who don't have access to anything else, be it uninsured or be it that they're in a geographical area in which they lack access to care. We have high quality of care. Vince will talk a little bit about our patient satisfaction. We also work very stringently with management of chronic illnesses. So if someone has asthma, child, or diabetes and heart disease, cardiac care, we case manage that closely. In terms of job creation and economic growth, right now we employ 473 people across northern Santa Barbara County and San Luis Obispo County. Last year we provided care to 74,285 individuals and almost 335,000 encounters. As you can see, since 2004, we have rapidly expanded in our growth, and part of that was due to the county contract and accessing services and our ability to provide care in places that we weren't able to before. I can get you a bigger slide. I'm doing the same thing with this. I can provide you a better slide. So we're going to go into kind of Community Health Centers 101. And I don't know if you know this or not, but we are federally required to meet certain guidelines that are established by the feds, and there's 19 of those. And what I did is I really took the first part of these to be able to explain, what parameters we operate underneath. So the health center program fundamentals are that it's located, as we've discussed, in a high-need area. One of the things that I don't think people understand is that we are governed by a board of 51% of users, people who use our service, members. We also have to have a representative from the homeless population, someone who's working with the homeless population, with migrant services, and with housing as part of our federal mandate. We have to provide comprehensive primary health care, and it is defined by the federal government, provide services available to all. So we don't turn anyone away. We do have fees that are adjusted on their ability to pay. And we have other performance and accountability requirements that are required by the federal government. So what's the benefit of a CHC? The CHC approach is less expensive. We are able to provide multiple services. For example, dental, women's health, and primary medical care, such as what we have in Templeton, and we're creating in San Luis Obispo. We provide access to those without access for primary medical preventive care and reduce the need for hospitalizations, saving significant amounts of funding. Nationally, there are 1,200 federally qualified health centers, more than 7,500 service delivery sites with over 20 million patients. I think we've gone over most of this. One of the things that is mandated by the feds is that we have to improve access to care through enabling services, including transportation, translation, case management. We have an extensive health education, as well as being culturally sensitive and appropriate to the populations that we serve. So to give you an idea, this is one of those really small graphs, but we are seeing patients out of every community in our county. By age and by gender. So nationally, 33% of the FQHCs and the community health centers are seeing children, or 33% of their population. So we're a little bit high on seeing the number of children. We're at 36%. In our adult population, almost, 27,000 women, so that would be the low-income women, are obtaining their services through our clinics. And then the 14,000 are men. And then we see a small population for Medicare. And Medicare being the age over 65 that they become eligible for it. So the number of percent of insured that we see and uninsured that we see. I do need to have a caveat on this, and that is we have two sets of numbers that was requested last time we were talking about Santa Barbara County and San Luis Obispo County. We have federal guidelines of encounter data that we put forth, you know, to the feds, and they post it up. It's called UDS data. And this is actually the entire UDS population. So that's where you get 74,000. When I break things down by county, it means that a patient is assigned to a clinic. And so that changes the count a bit. I have about 5,000 patients who are not necessarily assigned to a specific clinic. They could be homeless. They could be walk-ins. It could be a service in which they haven't, you know, had a relationship. They've just come into our clinics at some point. And so if you have a discrepancy in numbers, usually it's because it's from which point in the system that you are taking your measurement. One of the questions that came up last time, I think that Dr. Bornstein asked, was how many patients are coming across the county border, be it the Santa Barbara County into San Luis Obispo County. And we have 3,020 people that are coming over into San Luis Obispo County. But we also have 1,668 that are going from San Luis Obispo County into Santa Barbara County for services. So there's a net of 1,500 that are coming here. And I don't know if that's in dental services or which type of services. I didn't drill down that far. But what I can show you is the extensive amount of our service territory, and that we have by zip code data. We go all the way up into Monterey, almost up to San Ardo, in terms of the territory and the people who are accessing our services, and it comes down into the Santa Maria, Guadalupe, Lompoc area. The white spots that you see are Diablo and Vandenberg to the south, and then at the top, it's not Hunter Liggett, but there's, I think, another base also that's up there. Camp Roberts, thank you. That's Camp Roberts up there. In terms of communities that we serve, only 9% are over 200% or over 200% of the income guidelines. Everybody else is falling underneath the 200%, except there is an unknown population in there who have not reported. Now, this is strictly San Luis Obispo County data. And as you can see, we have a huge Medi-Cal population. We also have 5,088 last year that were without insurance. And then the CMSP population is 1,250. And then we do see private insurance as well as CHDP children. And we have a special populations program. We do help with Medi-Cal and Healthy Families enrollment. We have a healthcare for the homeless program at Prado Day Center, at Echo Shelter, as well as in Grover Beach. The CHOP is an outreach program that goes out to workplaces, into fields, into wherever a population might be that would be in need of primary medical care. That includes the migrant outreach. We've had our Helping Hands program, and that program was a federally funded program that was set up for those who are newly uninsured or with uninsured that could come in, that if they've lost their health insurance through unemployment, that they would have access to care. We also do the transportation services. Okay, so we're going to go a bit into federal health care center requirements, and I'll go quickly. There's 19 key requirements. I didn't bring up management, finance, and governance specifically here, more about needs and services of what our requirements are, but this is on the federal website. You can see all of this data and these slides there. As, for example, a needs assessment, that's the first thing that has to be demonstrated, is that there is need in that community for us to be able to set up a community health center. And I'll give you a perfect example. We were just funded recently. We were only one of 67 in the nation that was funded for what's called a NAP grant, or a new access point. And the new access point is in Nuquiama. There's no services. Well, the public health department, Santa Barbara, has been represented there. But now they'll have to begin with a part-time clinic. We have required an additional services that are put on by the federal government. The definition for what we are required to take, required primary preventive enabling services, and additional health services appropriate and necessary, either directly or through established written arrangements and referrals. And what that will refer back to is that we have to maintain a continuum of care for patients, particularly if they're uninsured, if they need access to specialty care, if they need access to other needs, then we will be able to refer out for specialty care. But these are the services that we provide, and Dr. Khan and Vince are going to speak more specifically to the types of services that we offer, including the specialty care. We have staffing requirements mandated by the federal government. We also have accessible hours of operation and locations. We have to have after-hours coverage. So we have the doctor's office in Arroyo Grande that's open after hours, as well as on Saturdays and up in Paso. We have Saturday clinics and in San Luis Obispo. Like I mentioned, the continuum of care, that if a patient goes to the emergency room and gets referred out because they are uninsured, they'll get referred to us. But we have to maintain also, if they need specialty care, if they need any access, that we can make those referrals into the community for them. We are also required for sliding fee discounts. And I brought this slide because I think there is some misunderstanding. We are required by the federal government to charge for services. If a patient is under 200% of the federal poverty limit, then they can qualify for a sliding fee scale. And it may be $25, $30, $40, depending upon where they fall into that scale. But the federal government states that you have to have a fee charged for your services. And as it states at the bottom, no discounts may be provided to patients with incomes over 200% of the federal poverty level. And I don't know if many of you know how small that is, but it's like about, for a single person, $1,800 a month is 200% of FPL. So it's not an extensive amount. We do offer, you know, the full discount on fees, but we do have the copayment that's due when the patients arrive. Now, if they cannot pay, we do not turn them away. They can come to the service. They are asked to have a copay, but if they cannot provide that, then we are still required to see everybody. And then we have Quality Improvement Assurance Plan, and that's what Vince and Dr. Khan will be speaking to you about. This is just the definition, the requirement. So our future: collaboration with Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties, particularly with healthcare reform. We just came back from the NAC convention, which is the National Association of Community Health Centers, and it was very amazing because they go forward, because healthcare is law, the Affordable Care Act is still law, and so they're still putting everything in place to mandate that by 2014, which was kind of nice, even though there's all the federal threats and the everything that's around and a lot of unknown about it. So I'm going to turn it over to Denise.
You've got the button, so I'll let you be the button pusher for me.
Okay.
That's okay. Good evening. I wanted to talk a little bit about our accreditation history. And we have been accredited by the Joint Commission since 1988. This is a voluntary accreditation on our part. It's not a requirement by the federal or state government that we be Joint Commission accredited. But we are, and those really review patient safety goals and the quality of care that we provide to our patients. In the United States, of all of the community health centers, only 22% have seek the accreditation that we have. One of the things that we feel is very important about this is because it really, it strengthens us. It makes us be better. It makes us look at the services that we provide to patients so that we know we're providing the best quality care that we can to the patients. It also improves our risk management and our risk reduction because we look at every aspect of patient care and patient safety that goes on in any of our sites. This is also a requirement. I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but in order for a hospital to receive Medicare funds from the feds, they have to be Joint Commission accredited. So that's a requirement for hospitals. It's not so much a requirement for the CHCs that we have deemed. And we also, that fulfills all of our regulatory requirements. One of the other things that we also do is we are surveyed constantly about every 2 years by CenCal or Medi-Cal in this community. We're also surveyed by the state. State licensing comes in every couple of years and reviews us. We also have sidebar surveys by, like, the CPSP program, which is the Comprehensive Perinatal Services Program. So we are always in a state of readiness, we say, for surveys, because at any time, anybody can come in, even the county can come in and check us out and survey us for the quality that we give and also for patient safety. Yeah, I think I'm done, unless there's any questions.
I'm going to ask Dr. Mercadante. He has joined us now.
Do you want the slide? Good evening. My name is Dr. Joe Mercadante. I'm the dental director at CHC, and thank you for inviting me here tonight. Many of you may not even know that CHC had a dental department. So what I'd like to do is just tell you a little bit about who we are, what we do, and why we're here. Have any of you ever been to any of our dental clinics? No? Nobody? Well, perhaps maybe you know somebody who has. Do you know anybody that has lost their job recently? You know anybody that's on unemployment? Perhaps you know a senior that is on a fixed or limited income. Maybe you know somebody who doesn't have dental insurance and says, I can't afford the dentist. I don't have insurance. Where do they go? The safety net providers. They call us the safety net providers, and I take that as a derisive term, actually. And you know, it is what it is. One of our most favorite populations are the homeless folks because they're between a rock and a hard place. 10 years ago, when I was on the Health Commission, we had a fair downtown at one of the farmers' markets, and the commissioners asked me if I would donate some toothpaste. And at the next meeting, I heard the story about the homeless person eating a tube of toothpaste. And didn't make my evening, that's for sure. But, you know, we're there to serve people and we're there to treat people. Are we a safety net provider? Do we just provide safety net services? I have to laugh. I mean, I understand it's Saturday morning and your child is woken up with a toothache. Who do you call? There's only one clinic that's open in this county on Saturday. That's us. We've been that way for 30 years, maybe. You have Medi-Cal. Medicare, where are you going to go? You're going to come see us. We have a sliding fee scale. Sometimes that sliding fee scale, patients pay less than I make. It's the way it is. That's why I'm there. That's my job. Who do you call if your community group wants to hold a fair? If the local hospital wants to do a fair for children? Who's going to be there? Chances are it's going to be the CHC with our dental van. The Stone Stoop Fair in Grover Beach, the Arroyo Grande Health Fair. I go on and on. Any of you live in Paso? Nobody lives in Paso? Mr. Pope? Were you didn't happen to be downtown this weekend, Saturday, at the Paso Bowl? Nah, you missed us. We were there. One of our hygienists donates a facility, and twice a year we hold a dental clinic there outside. Last year, when the children's health initiatives were folding all over the state and all over the nation, and Kenneth said, what are we going to do with these kids? We don't have enough money to provide them with dental services. Ron Castle said, CHC will subsidize their service, bring them over to us. And he came to me and says, Can you devise a program? I said, if you can pay for it, we can do it. It was a done deal. So safety net providers, Yeah, we're just one of those schlock clinics. Well, I have to laugh. I think that we're perhaps one of the leading health centers in the country. I don't know of too many other community health centers, and I've been in a few, that offer specialty services. We have an endodontist that works with us. We have an orthodontist that we've been providing orthodontic care for low-income children for several years now. We most recently, because of the community demand, hired a pediatric dentist who's been with us, is in her second year. She started an infant oral health program that sees kids when they have their first tooth, 6 months old, 9 months old. And I know everybody here loves going to the dentist, so can you imagine how much a nine-month-old likes going? Wow. I put fluoride varnish in one of those kids, and I got more varnish on their hair than in their teeth. So don't ask me to do that. In 06, we started the first fluoride varnish program. It was pretty interesting. I went around and I asked people for support. And at a meeting when I asked the first five commissioners for their endorsement, nobody would endorse the program. And before I could get back to my office, I had a fax on my desk from one of the leading pediatric dentists in the community telling me how bad fluoride varnish is. Nowadays, if you stand still long enough, somebody's going to come over because we're all tripping over each other to put fluoride varnish on. It's gotten out of hand. So we have 10 dentists on staff, full-time dentists. Nine of them are general dentists, one full-time pediatric dentist, part-time endodontist, as I said, orthodontist, we're still working with that. 70% of our dentists speak at least one language. So we feel we're pretty competent to offer cultural, I mean, speak more than one language. let me be clear about that. More than one language. So, I mean, how many here can speak more than one language? How many here can speak more than two? How about three? You know, hey, we're just CHC. So, what are we proud? Why am I here? Why am I talking like this? Because we have an infant oral health program. It's one of the leading programs for children in the country. Dr. Hendershot has devised a great preventive program for children. We may not be able to stop the decay rates right now, but hopefully we can meet again in 5 or 7 years and see a difference. We last year we did four pilot school programs. We did one in Paso, one in Templeton, two in Guadalupe, and one in Lompoc. We did five. I lied. But don't tell anybody that, because next month we're starting a new program in Guadalupe for the entire community. We've got a school program for grades 1 through 8. And we're going to see, can we really do this? Can we really make a difference? Well, stick around. Let's find out. Because we're going to make a difference. So, what else can I tell you? Our goal here is to be in every school in this county and provide a school program for all school children. Can we make it happen? Well, I can tell you this. We can't make it happen without your support, without anybody in this room's support, because there's enough resistance out there. There's enough people telling us what to do. There's enough people telling us why we can't get in the schools, why we can't do that. Doesn't matter that 4 million kids go to school each day with a toothache. 12 million hours of school, no, 51 million hours of school are missed each year due to toothaches. Low-income children, they're 12 times as likely to miss a day of school. So our focus has centered on the children. That's why we're here. And we believe this is a way to address our seniors, because today's children our next year, or next generation seniors. Thanks. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
I'm going to have Vince Sura come up now. He's our quality improvement director. Hey, Vince. Do you want this?
Hi, I'm Vince Sura. I'm the director of quality improvement for CHC, and can I ask that I present some data? So you'll see a lot of clinical data. We'll try to go through it in a way that's meaningful to you. because data, if you know anything about data, you know it all depends on what you're looking at, how you're looking at it. There's time frames, and so we'll talk about it. This is actually Dr. Khan's presentation, our medical director. I guess he's not quite here yet. So I'll go through some of the slides that he wanted to talk about here today. One of them here is talks about the percentage of patients that are in the county and, you know, compare that to our patients. So if you look at the total patients in total persons in San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara County, and you can see compared to our patient load, that about 16%, it actually looks like it's lower, but it's really about 16% on the one side and it's 21% on the other side, are patients of CHC. So in San Luis Obispo County, of every 6.5 residents, about one is our patient. And in Santa Barbara County, in northern Santa Barbara County, let me specify that, for every 5 residents, one is our patient. And that's an important thing that we know. We have a big base of patients that come to CHC and rely on our services. Our medical staff characters, he wanted to talk about the different physicians and the staff that we have. So you can see here we have, this is just our employed staff members, so 50 employed medical staff members. Really, we have over 100 different staff, different physicians and or specialists that contribute or see CHC patients in our clinics, over 100 altogether. Some of them are once a month, 4 hours a month. We have 50 employed members, though, and this is the employed physicians here. We have go back real quick. You can see the, I just wanted to specify a few things real quick on that previous slide. In regards to OBGYN, we've been building our OBGYN practice over the last year, and so we now have, as you see, 6 physicians and 3 nurse practitioners that are devoted to women's health services, and that's become a key focus area for us is the women and children in the county, particularly in the northern Santa Barbara County, where we now have, I think, the largest OBGYN practice in northern Santa Barbara County there. And so we also have, so those physicians also come up to San Luis Obispo and Arroyo Grande. We have a women's health clinic there. And the family practice thing, you can see we use physician's assistants along with our family practitioners, and they augment the physicians. So, you know, you have one physician, they can only see so many patients and so big of a patient base. So once a physician gets over about 2,000 assigned patients, that's about the cap where we begin to stop sending new patients to that physician. Beyond that, the clinical quality of care starts to go down. That's what studies show, is that once you get about 2,000 patients in your base, that's about what you can take care of, knowing that each person comes in about 3.5 times a year to get seen. You're looking at, you're going to have this patient or this physician burning both ends. So physician's assistants augment the physicians. They can't see as many patients as a physician can, but they see the less complicated patients, the more routine care. Patients can be handed off from the physician to the physician assistant, and then they can be seen on a regular basis and seeing the physician when the complications arise. So that's how our model is set up. If you go to the next slide now, that's good. Thanks. And we have 6 internists, and we also have been building our pediatric practices because I said we were focusing on women and children, and so we've been building up our pediatricians. I think when I got here, there must have been 4 pediatricians in our system, and that was in 2004, and so now we're up to 9 pediatricians and 2 nurse practitioners that are devoted to pediatrics. So these are the specialty services that we offer now. In various, some are 4 hours a month, some are 1 day a month, some are once a week, some are 4 times a week. For example, pain management, we have a contract that provides in-house pain management 4 days a week in our clinics. So these various services are what we're currently offering. The chiropractic is another big deal. We have 6 or 7 chiropractors throughout our system that see patients. And then, of course, our dental services, I don't know if we would call them a specialty, but I guess they are in that sense. But they also see, we have several dental clinics all throughout our system. So, and our podiatrist is full-time and actually travels around. He's in 5 different clinics throughout our network. Every day of the week, he's in a different clinic. So the key thing with our podiatrist is diabetic care. They need foot exams, so they go to the podiatrist for those foot exams. Okay, so the next slide. This is our provider specialty productivity. This really is showing you that when you look at the number of encounters that we had, 314,000 encounters. If you look, have for look at medical literally of those people. Electronic prescription. Medication. This is called to the talk. Well, there's... And so and do no I was explaining. Action plan. Which is a big deal, and the current flu shot. So those are three things that everybody who has asthma, especially if they have persistent asthma, which was a qualifier, they should have these. When you're percent. Again. cancer. We get test in the to get people patients. Years ago. So as counts against would you recommend? Commission. Have gone. On our front desk. So you can them yet. Them.
Do you down by compare results.
Sometimes pulling it. Criteria that's are also
provide to the
that's the key.
Other than CA.
And she's talking about
That's other questions.
Educate.
Explain to me what public. Board. that we intend you end up going. As well. You need.
Yes, I am.
The interest. One of the very provide.
our students. Now. Get big. Was where I believe.
That you all
I'm A 200. So Department of Health. Of healthcare.
When
any
and
positions. And
in nursing and
the chair. For children. He came out. I'm talking about Community's health. But hey, alcohol.
Screening brief. Which was extra info.
sheriff's family. Support line.
I believe we've
Campbell.
He knows of any.